Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q3 FY22 earnings conference call of NGL Fine-Chem Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishabh Das from Pareto Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rishabh Das from Pareto Capital. We represent investor relations for NGL Fine-Chem Limited. On behalf of NGL Fine-Chem, I welcome you all to our Q3 FY22 earnings conference call. I have with me from the management, Mr. Rahul Machane, Managing Director, and Mr. Rajesh Lawande, Whole-Time Director and CFO. We will have brief opening remarks from the management, followed by the Q&A session. Please note that certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to certain risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results or projections to differ materially from these statements. NGL Fine-Chem Limited will not be in any way responsible for any action taken based on such statements and undertakes no obligation to publicly update these forward-looking statements to reflect subsequent events or circumstances. I would now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul Machane for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Hi, good morning to all of you. Thank you for joining us on this call. Let me open with a few remarks on our performance for the quarter and strategy going ahead. Strong volume demand and increasing market penetration of our major products contributed to our revenue growth of 12% year-on-year for the quarter to 81 crores and 21% year-on-year for the nine-month period to rupees 235 crores. Our veterinary API business reported robust growth of 25% year-on-year in quarter three FY22 and 37% year-on-year for the nine months ended December. For our nine months ended 2022, wet API revenues touched almost 194 crores, reaching the full year previous year amount of 199 crores, which was recorded in FY21. We continue to have strong presence in APAC, which remains the largest market for us, with over 30% revenue contribution. Revenue from this region grew at 37% year-on-year for Q3 2022 and 16% for nine months FY23. During the quarter, we faced a challenging macro environment with all our costs being impacted. Chemical commodity prices touched an all-time high, while we also faced rising power and fuel costs and elevated freight costs. We have taken very limited price hikes so far, leading to our margins and profit being affected. For Q3 FY22, EBITDA stood at 12 crores with a margin of 15.4%. What I would like to mention here is that there has been no change in our product mix. We continue to maintain the optimum mix. Margins have been solely impacted by the macroeconomic factors stated above. Profit after tax for the quarter was 10 crores with a margin of 12.3%. Though there has been a correction, we expect the situation to be completely under control by Q1 FY23, leading to subsequent normalization of our margins and profitability. Coming to our plans going ahead, we are pleased to announce the completion of our Macrotech expansion in the month of December. We have received all the approvals and have started validation batches at the facility. We expect to start commercial production from Q1 FY23. Our plans to increase outsourced production is also on track. We have tested and considered multiple facilities, and we expect to attain 15% outsourced production by the end of FY23. Additionally, our ongoing efforts on process improvement and debottlenecking activities are underway to help drive near-term growth. Our planned greenfield expansion at Tarapur is also on course. We have recently started civil construction in the month of December, and the work is progressing well. The estimated CapEx for this project will be about 100 crores, which will bring in a 50% capacity addition and will be funded through a mix of debt and internal accruals. We expect to complete construction and start production in about 18 months. We aim to continue growing our business by leveraging our robust balance sheet with a net debt-free position and continue investing in maintaining our market position by remaining cost-effective, reliable, and offer high-quality solutions to all our customers. This is from my side. We can now open the floor for discussions.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, you know, your opening remarks, you did allude to the rising commodity prices, the input prices, and also you mentioned the presentation. So just to understand, from your initial remarks, I do understand that we haven't taken the price hikes or we haven't passed on the price hikes. So two parts related to this. One is, sir, our gross margins in last around 5 years have hovered around somewhere around 55 to 57%, and below 50% margins, probably we are seeing it for the first time after almost a gap of 5-6 years, or maybe around 20-24 quarters. So we do understand that we are into a challenging environment. So firstly, do you envisage now taking some price hikes going ahead, passing on this price hikes, or is the strategy being to gain market share, which you have been continuously gaining for last 3-4 quarters now or more? So what kind of strategy do we envisage, and in what time do you feel our margins, gross margins I'm talking about, not EBITDA, gross margins can be back in the range of around 55% from the current 48-49%? That is my first question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Rahul. What we have the strategy which we have formed is that currently, to a large extent, commodity prices being so high, commodity and metal prices, the factors controlling these prices are more or less are out of our control, because it's, you know, something which is affecting the, all the economies. In the short run, API prices unfortunately are pretty inelastic. They don't tend to go up as the chemical prices go up. So there is always a lag, time lag in transferring price hikes to customers. Though we try our level best, then there, you know, there is a sort of resistance which comes in from customers to hold on to the price hike. So the strategy we have formed is very clear that we will gain market share. Margins will normalize as and when these chemical prices will start, you know, coming down. We have already seen a trend by which the chemical prices have peaked around October, November, and we see that they are now coming down. So there's already been a reduction from the peak which was attained during October, November. And we are fairly sure that by mid of this year, we should see the commodity prices normalizing and the margin will also start coming back around that time. During this period, we plan to hang on to our market share and expand market share as much as possible.
Sure. One thing I'd also like to add to what Rahul said, the price hike from the suppliers has been so, you know, quick, and it's been an all-time high. We've not seen such a price hike on the raw material input costs before. So we hope that it will peter out, and it's already, we are seeing that trend where it reduces. It's been such a quick price hike that we're hoping that it peters out faster than before.
Yeah. Hopefully, we should be back to our normal gross margins somewhere around quarter one of FY23 or maybe maximum by quarter two of FY23. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah, that's what we are fairly confident of, yeah.
Sure. And my last question, sir, on the split of sales, geographical split. So my observation has been that well, we have done very well on the Asia Pacific, rest of world and USA markets. Of course, the rest of the world and USA markets are still quite smaller compared to the other three markets. So out of the other three large markets, Asia Pac has done exceedingly well. But Europe and India, both these markets, right from quarter two of the current year and even in this quarter, either have degrown or we have had just a flattish kind of quarter. In your last quarter con call, you had mentioned about Europe being comparatively slower than the other markets. So if you could share some insights on how these markets are behaving now, is it that the kind of product which we are doing has somewhere reached the mature stage, or the overall the market is slow, or how do we try to, you know, get back to some better growth numbers in Europe and Indian markets?
Europe is slowing down for sure. So we don't see a very large growth coming in from there in the short run. But the pandemic effect starts lessening on the economy, we are fairly sure that Europe will start coming back towards the later part of this year. So we hope to see some traction coming in from Europe post July in the current year. The India market saw a dip probably again because, you know, when Omicron came in, there was a little bit of, again, supply disruption. But it's something which is, one shouldn't really look at it as, you know, quarter on quarter, because there is a certain bit of seasonality also in products. Year on year is a much larger period which gives us a better result on various markets. And if we are looking at the 9-month performance, then we are already looking at a fairly large growth in most of our markets.
Sure, sir. So, Mike, basically I wanted to understand directionally, there is no issue in both these markets. It's just more seasonal. Is that correct?
Yeah, here we don't expect it to grow much again for the first calendar half of this year. We think it will start moving only in the second half of calendar year 2022.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir. In case of further questions, I'll come back. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning. The first question is on our revenue. So I think we did around 80 crore quarterly revenue this quarter. And as you mentioned in the presentation, macro tech commercial production will start, from first half of next year. And also we are trying to work on the outsourcing part and debottlenecking. So all that put together, is there a room to add, 60-70 crore of revenue before the greenfield plant comes from stream? Is that a fair assumption to make?
Yeah, we expect Microtech to contribute roughly about 50 crores to our revenues once it reaches capacity utilization 100%, which might take a little longer than a year. So probably it will optimize maybe in 23-24. But it's along with outsourcing, yes, we would look at around 50 crores or over growth coming next year, yeah.
Okay, great, sir. My second question is on, the poultry products that we have launched. If you can talk a bit about the traction there. And I think two of the products were still not commercialized and at the validation stage. So any updates on that would be useful.
As of now, all products which we had introduced, save for one, all are in commercial production now.
Okay.
So we have 22 molecules in commercial production. We have got 3 molecules right now which are in pilot plant trials and 2 more which are in R&D development stage. So we have got a further 5 products in our product lineup which will get commercialized in the current year.
Okay. And this, I think, probably you mentioned this, but, our current product basket is sufficient to occupy the capacity of the new CapEx, greenfield CapEx that we are planning. That is the roadmap with which we are moving, right?
No, we will definitely need to add new products, because existing products only will not help us, you know, occupy incremental capacity which we are creating. We will definitely need to keep adding products as we go along.
Okay. So in addition to this 27-28 products that we have, there will be further new products which will be added, which will be commercialized in the newer plants that we are putting up.
That is right, yes.
Okay, great, sir. Great. Thanks a lot. That's it from my side.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Ankit from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So if you can, you know, delve a bit deeper on our strategy of, you know, capturing more market share and or retaining our market share and not increasing prices. Because, you know, last year also we did capture quite a bit of market share by because of COVID, during the COVID wave, and we grew our top line quite well. And even in this year, despite margin pressure, our top line has been pretty, has in fact grown on a YOY basis. So if you can delve a bit deeper on this capturing market share strategy. And secondly, what if the prices of raw material remain elevated for a longer time? Let's say if we are assuming them to come down over the next few months, but like, what will be our strategy to pass on the prices if the raw material prices and commodity prices will remain elevated for a longer period of time?
Okay, so you are saying what is our strategy for markets going forward?
For our strategy on retaining or gaining market share by not increasing prices of APIs despite such raw material pressure.
Yeah, okay, so not increasing prices does not work, because we have to react to the market. Number of products which we are manufacturing, we are increasing prices and passing on price increases to customers. As Rajesh mentioned earlier, the price increase in raw materials has been very abrupt and very fast. So our ability to pass on price increases quickly to customers was hampered. So as a result, now for example, we have, even in spot business, we have commitments which go on till close to about 3 and 4 months ahead for customers. Now, commitments which are already made, we cannot change prices of those. But whenever we are buying in the current commodity market, we are paying higher prices. So that ability to pass on in the short term is impaired. But in the long term, we have to pass on price increases to customers. Otherwise, there is no way that we can survive in this market. So we will definitely be passing on price increases. That is not within question at all. But whether we pass on the full price increase or we pass on a part of the price increase and absorb a part becomes a strategy of how we want to play in each market and looking at what kind of customers we want to retain.
Sure, sure. And let's say, you know, if the prices remain elevated for a long time, eventually over the next 1 or 2 quarters, we will largely pass on the price hike to our customers.
Definitely, yes.
Sure. And then on this, you know, greenfield, our strategy on, you know, expansion. So post this downfield completion of the Macrotech expansion, and, you know, the new Tarapur plant which is coming, the greenfield CAPEX which is coming and expected to be completed by max, you know, H1 of FY24. So apart from that, any other new land that we have acquired or we are planning to acquire and apply for EC, because earlier we have had challenges in, you know, getting EC approvals, and we had taken Tarapur EC approval almost 2-3 years back. So any such strategy for the new land acquisition and getting EC approval well in advance?
What is the last part, strategy for?
For new land acquisition for plant and, you know, getting EC approval for that as well.
Yeah, so we hold land in Mahad and in Ambernath. We haven't progressed towards applying for EC for those because we are still tying down with and we are doing a fairly large investment in Tarapur right now. But yes, when we have our budget for the next 5 years prepared, the rolling plan, we will definitely be looking at and ensuring that prior salary clearances are received well in advance of initiating the CAPEX work.
Sure. Sure. And it's actually great to see the company now thinking about, you know, four, five years earlier, as you used to tell us that, you know, we think of a year or two in future, but not beyond that. So great to see that we are starting to formulate a 4-5 year strategy. Yeah. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time, then please press star and one. The next question is from Venkat from 3 Sigma Financials. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and a good set of numbers in a difficult time. One question I have is, you know, Macrotech is going to start producing intermediates. So will the pressure on the price increase that we are seeing in raw material, would that subside? So would the Macrotech actually use key starting material to produce those intermediates and the APIs or APIs?
No, what we are doing in Macrotech is that we are adding volumes. We have already been manufacturing these intermediates ourselves in NGL. But now we are, as the, you know, requirement of finished product starts going up, we need to manufacture more quantities of these intermediates. So that is the gap which Macrotech is helping us fulfill.
So it is not backward integration?
No, we are already fairly backward integrated. So we don't want to backward integrate further. But we want to add greater volume to our existing products. So where, let's say we were producing 20 tons, the idea is that we should be able to produce 50 tons of that product and sell, so that we gain greater market share of those products also.
I have one more question. So for instance, you know, if the raw material cost, whatever we are buying, if it is at some stage, in not case, so would it be cheaper to probably outsource some of those KSMs into whatever stage that we are buying? Will that actually improve the cost? Just a hypothetical question.
So what we do is that we do outsource a lot also. And our idea is that, you know, as we have said, over a 3-year period, we would like to increase our outsource production from 5 to 15%. So where technology is not proprietary, where technology can be repeatable, and where, the toll converter has got the expertise in that particular type of chemistry, we outsource in those kind of areas. But where the technology is proprietary, it is something which we have developed, and we do not want the market to know, then we will insource those intermediates and not have them manufactured somewhere else.
I see. Okay. So my next question is on, if you see, you know, the steel prices have gone up and some of the commodity prices have gone up. This must have led to cost overrun for the subsequent project. So what is the percentage of that overrun, and how are we going to cover this overrun? Because we have budgeted some amount, you know, 100 crores, loan plus the accruals, actually, internal accruals. And with our internal accruals coming down, so would there be any additional fund requirement?
So we have budgeted based on, the cost prevailing probably around mid of 2021. And since then, the costs have gone up. So we are right now redoing the entire exercise of finding out what the new prices are, and this will get done around end of March or mid April. We will arrive at exactly what will be the extent of the cost overrun. But we hope that it should not be more than a 10% situation at this juncture.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Hi, Rahul. Rahul, just a couple of questions on this new Tarapur facility that we are doing, the 100 crore CapEx. Just wanted two clarifications. One, by when will this be operational? Based on your presentation, it seems H1 2024, so just wanted to clarify that. And second thing was that historically we've seen that our asset turns has been around 2-2.5 times. So will this also see the same kind of asset turn? So that was my first question.
Yeah. So you got it right. In terms of timing, it will roughly take us between 18 and 20 months to set up the plant. We started in December. So mid-23 is what we expect, the plant to be ready and operational August, September. The EHS requirement is going up drastically right now, and EHS is forming almost 20% of project cost, which was not so probably about 5 years ago. So asset turns may not be going up to about 2.5, but might end up more in the range of 1.75-2 going forward.
Understood. Understood. And in terms of, I mean, before, till this acquisition comes in place, so we are doing Macrotech, which should come from the next first quarter of next year, and also outsourcing. So till the interim of that time, can we continue to grow at 20-25% that we have been growing at over the last 3-4 years? With all the initiatives that we have been doing. So we are already doing 80 crores kind of run rate, 75-80 crores kind of run rate consistently over the last 3-4 quarters. So can we probably add around 60-70 crores on top of it and then also grow? I mean, 20-25% kind of growth is feasible before this Tarapur facility comes. That's it. Thank you.
Yeah, that sort of a growth rate is doable definitely for another year before this facility comes up.
Okay, that's great to hear. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Aman Vij from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. My first question is basically one clarification first. You had mentioned that 15% outsourcing will happen in FY23 itself versus earlier target of the next 3 years.
No, it's a 3 year plan. We started this in February 2021, and it will take us 3 years to reach that target of 15%. So in the current year, we have already added five different vendors with whom we have stabilized the relationship now, and quite a bit of production is being outsourced to them. We hope to add probably another five more vendors, and then transfer technologies for additional products as the trust is developed between the companies.
Sure, sir. My next set of questions is on the commodity price increase, fuel cost increase, and freight cost increase. So if you can talk about what is it currently. So last quarter, we had like 25% plus kind of commodity price increase. So you mentioned it has come down a little bit, but what is it currently, these three metrics?
So it's been actually widespread. And it's been different for different chemicals, unfortunately. There are some chemicals which had gone up almost 3x as compared to what we were paying, let's say, in January this year. And some have gone up a little lesser. Ones which had gone up 3x are probably now down to about 2x, So they've already retraced part of the increase which has taken place, but they are still high because they are still close to twice the prices which we were paying last year, but which is still better than what, you know, CX, which was around October, November. There are some chemicals where prices are still not coming down, so it's an overall mix which is affecting us. Freight has already started reducing. So freight costs have gone up almost about 8 to 9x. And on that peak now, they are retraced back to about probably about 5x now. But we are slowly changing most of our contracts to FOB to pass on the freight element to customers. So as and when prices go up or come down, benefit is there. We are not trying to do anything in that. Oil is still at a high. We are using gas in some of our plants. And the gas prices are still at 2x. There is no softening in those prices yet.
Sure, sir. And the final set of questions is on the product growth. So if you can talk about top 5 products, then 5 to 10 products, and 10 to 20 products. So this is the kind of, what kind of growth are we seeing in these three categories of products?
So in the top 5 products, we have seen a 21% growth.
Sure.
And in our top 10 products, we have seen a 26% growth. So the next 5 products are now accounting for a larger push in our growth.
Yeah, and the remaining, sir, because we were talking about product number 10 to 20 is where there is maximum opportunity for taking market share, since our market share is much lower there.
In the remaining products, we are seeing an 18% growth.
And this number is for 9 months or Q3 versus Q3 last year?
9 months. 9 months. I am not talking about Q3. I am looking at the 9 month period.
Sure. And you expect similar kind of growth rate going forward, like product number 5 to 10 growing faster than the top 5 products?
5 to 10 are definitely going faster, because the top 5 is about 20% growth, and the 5 to 10, and the top 10 products are growing at almost 26%.
Yeah, I'm talking about going forward, so next couple of quarters. Similar trend?
Yeah, we see traction coming from the smaller and newer products quite a bit. So those are growing at a very healthy clip right now.
Sure, sir. And one final question on rest of ROW market. So what is driving this big growth? Is it more geographies opening up for us, or is it suddenly those customers asking for much more volume?
Geographies are more or less the same. We are in 45 markets right now for the last 2 years roughly. If there is a new geography added, it's probably 1 or 2 here and there. But it's now the customer base is also growing a little bit, and at the same time existing customers are buying more, because we are able to offer a wider range of products to them.
Sure, sir. I have few more questions. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Rajat from iThought. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. But just one clarification in to the previous participant, you said that we can grow by 50-60% before Tarapur plant comes up. So are we saying that from 80 crores revenue run rate on a quarterly basis, we can go to 120 crores before Tarapur comes up? Is that understanding correct?
Can you repeat that? What is the amount you are speaking about?
So from quarterly revenue run rate of 80 crores today, can we go to 120 crores quarterly run rate?
No. 50% growth, I think it was more in terms of absolute numbers, not... So 20% growth is what we are talking about, 20-25% growth.
So broadly you are saying 105 crores before Tarapur comes up?
Yeah.
Understood. And that would mean almost 100 crores of annual increment. So
I'm actually in terms of 35%, I think, almost, which you're speaking about. So it's not going to be that high. A 20% growth rate is more like likely to take place.
Okay. So broadly, that 20% would mean 65 crore kind of annual run rate. So I assume, like you suggested, 50 crores will be coming from macro tax, and rest would probably be because of increased outsourcing. Is that correct?
I would not put down specific numbers for me, because some would come from the increased capacity we have by macro tax. Some will come from outsourcing. Some come from debottlenecking, which carry out continuously our existing plants. So it's a sum total of different things which we do.
Okay, sure, sir. And sir, on the Macrotech, basically, it is not just the backward integration and not just the production. So production there is not going to be used only for captive purposes, but we are also selling the produce from there in the market. Correct?
As of now, till now, Macrotech has been used completely as a captive, manufacturer. We haven't yet explored sales directly from Macrotech. But as we keep on adding more products, that is something which we'll definitely look at.
Okay. All right. And sir, last question. How has been the traction so far for new product that we have launched in the last, let's say, 2 years?
Fairly good, because the smaller products are growing much faster right now. So they almost double every year, because the base is very small. So we are seeing a fairly good traction coming in from those products.
And they are largely selling in which geography?
It depends. So there are a couple of products which we have manufactured now which are India-centric. So they sell more in India. But most of them are for, different markets, Asia, Pacific, rest of the world, those kind of things.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from Sonal Minhas from Prescient Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rajesh. This is Sonal. I have one question. Just wanted to understand the customers with whom you gained market share, just want to understand the pricing gap you have with these customers vis-a-vis your competition. Is the pricing gap still being maintained? That's one. And the second part, which is a follow-on to this one, is the availability of the product from you as well as your competition. Were your competition finding it difficult to supply the products to your customers? And is that going to change over time, given the raw material supply eases off over the next 6-9 months?
Pricing gap is something which has to be maintained at any point of time, because in a B2B business, customers will switch very fast if they find that the prices are higher. So you have to match prices almost at every step. So, and there's no significant gap. The gaps are more like 0.5%, 1% here and there. We can't afford to work with 5% gap over the competitor or something of that sort. The gaps are pretty narrow.
Okay.
And
they have remained the same even with these raw material prices going up.
Every competitor has to react quickly to the market, because if you don't, then you lose market share.
Got
so people are slow to react will obviously have trouble, no?
Understand. And from a supply perspective, so were you able to gain the market share because of supply, and is that sustainable? Just trying to understand that part too. No.
Market share is not just gained because of pricing all the while. Market share is also gained because of other invisible factors which go into servicing a customer in terms of documentation, quality systems, and reliability of supply, ensuring product lines are operative at all points of time. So we have been able to, you know, deliver on all those other fronts also to our customers.
Understand. Got it. Okay. So the last bit of it was just to understand, your competition is not feeling, or they are not short on supply of the products compared to you as we speak right now.
No. There are no monopoly sources which we, sources which we can monopolize, sorry. So the same sources are available to everybody. So no, it's not, there's no special supply chain benefit which we enjoy as such.
Got it. So the differentiation in the market, so the gain in the market share is basis what you just mentioned before that, largely on documentation, servicing, and
reliability, quality of product, pricing, all that go together, yeah.
Understand that. Okay. That's it for my time. Okay. Thank you, Rob.
I'd just like to add one thing here, is that, we're not, it's not a zero-sum game that we gain market share only if someone else loses. What has also happened is the demand has increased, right? For, and that's happened over the last couple of years. So we're selling a lot more because the market demand has increased. It's not just a zero-sum game that we play on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Sure, Raj.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankit from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity again. Sir, it is pretty heartening to know that top 5 and even our top 10 products where we have substantial market share are also growing at, 20-25%. So, if you can broadly explain what is driving this, growth for us, and how sustainable is this growth in top 10 molecules?
Well, growth is coming in the same way as I said earlier. It's that we are just able to penetrate those in a better way. At the same time, there is a growth in the market also for the demand for these products. So both these are fueling that growth.
Sorry, it seems we have lost the line of Ankit. We will move on to with the next question that is on the line of Varun from Caneva Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So I want to know whether we have products supplying to the companionship pet animal segment, or are we planning anything in that segment?
Yes, currently, Varun, we have just one product which goes into companionship animals, but it also goes into farm animals. So it's a product which goes into both the markets. But right now we are planning for two products which will be exclusively for companionship animals, which will, we hope to, one will be launched in the current year. In fact, the pilot plant trials have just got completed very successfully. So we will start manufacturing that little choir part of this year. And the second is where R&D work is going on, but that will come only in FY24.
And how are the margins in companionship? Is it significantly better than the livestock segment?
What was that question?
Can we expect better margins in companionship segment compared to livestock segment, or are it on the same line?
If it is being sold in the rest of the world, the time taken is not very different. But the larger market for companion animals is in Europe and US. So registration and penetrating markets over there takes longer.
Okay. And my second question, the Tarapur capacity, you mentioned that it is a 50% expansion on the existing capacity. So the 50% is will be on the expansion which we run in Macrotech and the outsourcing part, or is it 50% before the...
50% before the Macrotech numbers.
Oh, okay, thank you. That's it for me.
Thank you. The next question is from Richa from EquityMaster. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. I have two questions. The first is, does the regional mix have any implication on our margins? And second is, the new products that we are introducing, 3 in the pilot trials and 2 in R&D, what kind of market opportunity is there, and would the margin profile be any different from what we have in the current product?
Yeah, can you repeat the first question again?
Does the regional mix have any implication on the margins? For example, the higher contribution of US, would it imply, you know, if it increases, would it result into better margins overall?
Okay, so whether there is an impact of regional sales. So, okay, so the sales into Europe or US right now currently, over 95% are of products which are not what, you know, as one can say, for sale into regulated markets. These are being products which are sold over there for purchase and resale in other markets. So we don't enjoy any specific higher profitability based on a particular region. For us, profitability is more or less the same across all regions.
All right.
And in terms of margins of new products which we are introducing, typically we undertake products which are multiple stages of synthesis. And that is the only way to safeguard your, the margin in this business. Because one or two step products are something which almost everybody can replicate. So we take products which are 5 to 7 stages of synthesis, and that is the only way that we are able to maintain the margins for our company.
Okay. And sir, what would be the market opportunity or, you know, size for these 5 products that are under development right now?
So these are products which with a fairly large market worldwide, but at the current juncture, I am unable to put numbers for you as to how much we will be able to tap into those.
All right. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. Next question is from Ankit from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I got disconnected. The last question from my end, you know, post this new 5 molecule that we'll be introducing over the next 1 year, market will be around 27-28 products. So for utilizing the Tarapur facility, how many new molecules do we need to add in our basket?
That's a little difficult question to answer because that would depend on basically 2 factors. Number one is how quickly we are able to scale up the new products and obtain greater market share. Because a few of those products have got potential to be probably even 50 crore products. But let's say we are able to penetrate only 10 crores of the market over a 2-year period, then we need to keep on adding new products. So it's something which is a little difficult to answer at this juncture. It will be a combination of factors, success in commercializing the product, how quickly we put it in the market, and how quickly we are able to scale up our presence in the market.
Sure, because our top 5, top 10 products are also doing well. we might also, as per our strategy, we might also be trying to gain more market share in, you know, 20 to next 11 to 20 molecules. So, you know, that will also be contributing to our growth.
Well, let me put it this way, that over the next 3-year period, we plan to increase our product mix from the current 2022 to about 30 different products. And with that, we are confident of filling capacity for all the new capacity which we have planned right now.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you for that.
Thank you. Next question is from Ayush Mittal from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning everyone. It's really good to hear that a lot of work on new product development has been happening. So I have a few questions. So first thing that if I go by the previous interactions, I think you have always mentioned that the prices in the animal API have been very stable and they have not increased largely over last 1 or 2 years. And the growth we have had is largely a volume growth that we have done. Is that right?
That is correct, yeah.
Yeah. So in this environment where we are seeing commodity prices rise a lot across the board and they do fall and then they come back again, they start rising again. And given that in at least 3, 4, 5 products, we have more than 50% market share, don't you think the price increase has to be more from our side, wherein if we are good in those things, then we have to take that lead and go on the price increase? And how will that play out? Can you give some sense on that?
Yeah, so there is no way that we can work without passing on price increases. What we were saying is that there is a time lag between passing the price increase to customer. Okay. And especially when commodity prices went up so fast in the short run, it was difficult to pass it on to customers immediately, because earlier contract used to be CIF, now we are converted to FOB basis. So when you have CIF contract and freight goes up 8x, it's virtually impossible, you know, to do anything over there. So for existing contracts, it's difficult to wiggle out. We don't like to break any contract one at
a
time.
Yeah. So, but have we started this process of price increase, or where are we, or by when do you expect that we'll be able to do something on this?
This process has started almost 4 months ago of passing on price increases. Actually, more than 4 months ago. This started around July, August. But every time we used to go back to the price increase with the customer, the prices have gone up even more.
Okay. Yeah.
So we are struggling to keep up with that. And after a certain amount of time, there is a resistance which comes in from customers, because then they have to start evaluating whether there are cheaper substitutes available in the market for that particular medicine. So that becomes the threat to the product then. So then at that resistance point, we have to absorb a larger part of the price increase. But as I said, this is a temporary passing phenomena. We will have to wait it out. There is no magic stick to be waved over here. To keep our head down, probably mid of this year, we should see that, you know, things are back to normal.
And this increase should be ideally 15-20% or less than that, the price increase?
It varies from product to product. There are some products which are iodine based, where we have had to increase the price by 120%.
No, but overall for the company level or for the product basket that you are actively having?
It would be a very thumb of rule, this thing, because it's different for each product. There are some products where we have increased prices by 15%, some where, you know, it's gone up as high as 120%. So for me to give you a overall average is very difficult at this juncture.
Okay, got it. So second, you also talked about some debottlenecking that you keep doing from time to time. Any thing that you can share, what kind of capex or investments we will have to do on these things going forward to have more capacity at existing locations?
So normal capex is in the range of about 6 to 8 crores. That is what we do in our debottlenecking exercise.
Okay. That
one. Some part of it is also for replacement and some part of it is for debottlenecking.
Okay. And so when we interact with a lot of other companies in the chemical API sector, what we are seeing is that there's a huge global demand, especially for companies which have been very strong on the export side. There are so many bigger companies globally who are wanting to scale up more from India. Are you seeing more of this thing or any plans to accelerate your expansion plans on a bit longer term period? Are you also seeing those kind of things happen for your company or sector?
Yeah, we have seen it. That's the whole reason why the growth increase has been so strong for us. And as I said earlier, we are now concentrating more on getting market share and increasing our footprint in the market. Because as and when commodity prices start correcting themselves, the margins will come back. So our focus is right now to ensure that we keep on increasing market share.
Yeah, but what I was trying to perhaps ask was that are you trying to even accelerate your capacity build-up or something, because outsourcing and those things have their own limitations, while many often what we are seeing that globally when you get a large customer, then the requirement of growth requirement is very large and you have to have capacities to cater to them.
Right now, we have just one project on the cards right now, and that is already under implementation. We are working to see how quickly we can do it, but quite a few equipments are all on long order right now, 6 months, 8 months, 10 months delivery. So we will accelerate it as much as we can do, but it's not something which is going to come down from 18 months to 10 months or something of that sort.
Agreed. Got it. Okay. Thank you and wish you all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from Anand Jain, as an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. My first question is that since you are talking of price normalization in the RM side, are we carrying, what is the amount of high price inventory that we are carrying? And because of that, we could see another quarter of lower gross margins. Are we carrying significant amount of high price inventory?
Can you again repeat? What are we carrying? I have not understood what that part.
I'm saying that, are we carrying high-priced inventory even today, despite the price normalizations, which could impact our gross margins going ahead?
No, in fact, we have started curtailing our inventory levels now because as the prices start going down, so early part of the year, we increased inventory levels quite significantly during the period from June to September. And going forward from October onwards, we are now cutting down inventory. So inventory has actually been flat for this quarter, though sales has gone up another 6-8%.
So the other question that I have is in terms of, I just want to continue on the question that Ayush had asked. So, as he said that, we are 50-55% market share in 3-4 molecules. So, are we the price setters in those molecules? And the junior peer, the guys with smaller market share kind of follow our price?
Well, we do set the price, but at the same time, there are customers who will never buy completely from us. They will always have 2-3 suppliers for all their products. So which means that it's not a situation where we can, take undue advantage of. So we have to be responsible competitors and suppliers at any point of time.
My third question is, we have 400 clients and almost the revenue run rate of 300 to 320 crores, which would mean that on an average our clients are around 1 CR, roughly 80 lakhs to 1 CR. I just want to understand what is the size of our top 3 or top 5 or top 1 client. The reason I'm asking that is, I want to understand that, once we have these newer products coming in, are we going to search for newer clients, or the current client itself would be kind of able to pick up higher quantities and newer products from our base, from whatever we have right now?
Yeah, just give me a second. I'll just look at the numbers. Our top five customers today contribute roughly about 21.5% to our sales. And top 10 customers about one-third of our sales.
Okay. And I don't want you to name, but do we also have clients like, you know, not for the regulated markets, but because we are not there, but like, you know, companies like Merck and other such companies, they do also have portfolios in the non-regulated market. So do we have any clients of, you know, similar repute or, you know, really large MNCs as a client?
So out of the top 10 animal health companies in the world, we are supplying to 5 of them.
Oh, that's a good answer. Thank you. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Das for closing comments. Thank you and over to you.
Yeah, thank you all for joining the Q3FY22 earnings call. For any further queries, please feel free to get in touch with us at Pareto Capital. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of NGL Finechem Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.